Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men.
Son of righteousness. So what did Christ do in that case?
He took these people who spent all their lives observing the stars and seeking to understand something about the activity of God through the actions of the stars. So he took these people and he gave them a star. He gave them something which they were looking for in order to bring them out of that Magian religion, to bring them out of that to himself. This is his condescension. And so, in this precise case that we have in front of us, he condescends to Peter and to James and John through the thing that they know, through the thing we could say that they're fixated on, right? These are fishermen. This is their job. This is what they do. So they do it all the time. They know fish, and they know how fish behave. And they're not really looking for something profound. They're expecting the Messiah because they're pious Jewish men. But really, the in and out everyday concern is whether or not we're going to catch enough fish to sell in the market to feed the families. And so Christ comes to them. And this wasn't the first time they had seen him. They had already encountered him a few times before, but nevertheless, they had not yet become his disciples. They had not yet gone to follow him. So he comes and he finds the fishermen have come out of their boats and they're washing their nets because they've been fishing all night. They're quitting for the day. They haven't caught anything. They're washing their nets, putting them away, going to bed, sleep a few hours, and then get ready for the next night. So he gets into Simon's ship, Peter's ship, and he asks him to put the ship out from the land a little bit. And the purpose is so that he can look at the people that he's teaching, so that he won't have people standing behind him, because everybody was crowding around him throughout all the area. They were coming to hear his teaching and to see him, hopefully to see a miracle maybe. And so rather than speak in the middle of a crowd and have half of them not hearing him, he gets into the ship, puts out from the shore a little bit, and then everybody's in front of him, and he can speak to all of them. So Peter obeys immediately, takes his ship out into the water, the Lord teaches the people. And when he's finished speaking, rather than saying, "Go back to the shore, let me out, I'm done now," he turns to Peter and he says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your net for a trap. Go out into the sea, go out into the lake here, put down your nets for a catch of fish." Now this is an odd thing, because Peter and James and John know that nighttime is the time for fishing. That's when you're going to catch most of the fish. And they've been doing it all night and they haven't caught anything. To go out at this time, it's late morning. The Lord's been teaching these people out of the ship. To go out at this time, this is not when the fish are active. So Peter answers as much, "Master, we've toiled, we've labored all night, and we haven't caught anything." But then he says, "Nevertheless," because he already knows something about Jesus, right? He's already come into contact with him once or twice. So he says, "Nevertheless, because you say it, I will let down the net." It's a small act of faith. "Nevertheless, because you say it, I will let down the net. All of my wisdom, everything I know about my trade, is contrary to what you're telling me to do. I've been fishing my whole life. My father was a fisherman. He taught me how to fish. I've been in boats since I could walk. Everything I know about fishing tells me that this is a waste of my time. I need to go home and go to bed. I've been up all night. But a small act of faith, nevertheless, because you say it, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. And so he has to signal James and John out of the other ship, "Come out here and help me pull this net in, because I can't do it on my own." And they pull the net in and fill both the ships with fish, and they begin to sink. They begin to get lower in the water because there are so many fish. And that's all of that explains why Simon Peter responds the way that he does at this point. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." If we don't know anything about fish, we might think, well, that's kind of a strange way to behave. Yeah, it's a lot of fish, but maybe he thought, maybe it's just unusual. But the fact is, this was counter to everything that St. Peter knew about fish. It's like the wise men with the star. They were looking at the heavens. They spent their whole lives looking at the heavens. They spent their whole lives observing the stars. And they see one doing something that stars don't do. You know, they watch the stars, they watch the constellations change from season to season. They watch the planets, they know that they move differently than the stars. Sometimes they move backwards, and they know all of that. So whenever they see something doing something completely different, they know, this means something. We need to pursue this, we need to find out about it. It's the same thing with Peter and James and John with these fish. It's completely contrary to the natural order. This is not what fish do. And they recognize that as a miracle. But this is a tremendous example of the condescension of God. He came down to their level. He had already spoken with them several times before. And what did they do? Well, they're still fishing. They weren't coming to follow him. You know, they had heard the witness of St. John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they're still fishing. So Christ condescends. He comes down even to the level of their fishing. And he reveals himself to them in this way. And that's why Peter responds with this. It's a statement of reverence and of piety. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He recognized that the catch of fish was miraculous. He recognized that it was through Jesus' doing that he had caught all of these fish. And he recognized by those two things that there was something divine about Jesus. And therefore his response is, I am a sinful man, and I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Depart from me, because I am a sinful man. That's why he responds that way. But Christ, rather than departing, rather than even saying, yes, you're correct, I am God in the flesh, and you don't deserve to be in my presence, rather than responding that way, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From this time forth, you will catch men. You have been catching fish. Now you will catch men. You have been, and the fathers say, they interpret that. The work of a fisherman is to drag fish up out of the darkness and bring them into the light. So the work of the apostles after this becomes to drag men up out of the darkness and bring them to the light. This is the task. This is what Peter was training for all those years. He thought he was training to be a good fisherman, but he was actually training to bring men from darkness into light. And the way we know that he was because his response at this point is to come to the land, and then he and James and John forsake everything, and they follow Christ. This is the condescension. To stoop down to the level to which we can respond, that we are aware of, and to call us to himself in that way. It's very important to realize that, because sometimes we think of God, we believe him to be distant. We believe him to be implacable. You know, we pray to God and pray to God and pray to God, and we don't get any kind of miraculous answer, and so we think God's not listening. Or he's not there. Or he doesn't care about us. But the reality is, God is calling us. That he is stooping down to us. That he is actually pursuing us. And it's not that he's not hearing us. It's that we are fleeing from him. That we are running from him. This is too often the case. We do not have to wait for God to do something for us. We don't have to wait for God to call us. We don't have to wait for God to condescend to us. He is doing that already. What we have to do is respond properly. To turn, to kneel, to have a little bit of holy fear. To say, God help me. To stop running, to turn and face him, to pray, to seek him. This is our response. This is how we need to respond. Because God desires us. He desires a relationship with us. He condescends to us. We can run from him for the rest of our lives, and he will never stop pursuing us. This is how it is, and some of you may have experienced this in your lives. You go through dark times in your life whenever you turn away from God. want nothing to do with God. And you flee from God, and you don't relate to Him at all, you don't pray, you don't read the Gospels, you don't read the Scriptures, you kind of pretend like He doesn't exist, and then one time you come to a point of, what we would say, a point of repentance. And what happens? We repent, we turn, and we pray, and God's there. Why is that? Because all of that time we were running away, He was right behind us. He was pursuing us. We didn't have to turn and walk back all that way that we had run. We simply turned and walked. This is the God that we worship. Not a God who is angry. Not a God who is out to destroy us. Not a God who is waiting for us to make a mistake so that He can send us to hell because that's what He wants to do anyway. The God that we worship is the God who loves us, who created us out of love, who redeems us out of love, who condescends to us out of love, who calls us to Himself out of love, and ultimately will, if we will allow it, share His life with us out of love. This is the condescension of God. This is the whole work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The creation of the human race, the incarnation, the coming in the flesh of the Word of God, His miracles, His teachings, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension into heaven, sending down the Holy Spirit upon us, all of it is a tremendous act of love on God's behalf. And all He's waiting for is our response. So let us respond. From this time forth, let us respond. To cling to God, to pray to God, to seek Him every day, to desire His will, to strive to do what is pleasing to God, and not to turn away from Him. This is our task as Christians. Cling to God, turn to Him, and to ultimately share in His life. To God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship in the ages of ages. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.